Same me. disturbing moral vegetarians and vegans everywhere. Super Meat Boy is the tale of one piece of meat's journey to rescue the bandage girl he loves from the evil clutches of Dr. Fetus.
Yeah, Super Meat Boy.
Super Meat Boy.
It's an awesome game.
Soundtrack by Daniel Branowski, who is a longtime OC Remix artist.
Has anyone played that game besides me?
I keep seeing articles of it
so
and hearing about how awesome and hard it is.
I didn't get very far, but I liked it a lot.
What we just played was Power of the Meat, Remix by Josh Welchel, Melinda Hershey, and Poolside.
Meat Boy is fun because you're like a little meat pixel cube thing, and you just drip all over this gross, and then you jump, and you wall jump off of stuff. It's just jumping and wall jumping.
What is the point?
It's just like...
get to the end.
Yeah, it's like one screen, get to the exit. There's just tons of things.
That's all I want in a game.
Yeah.
That's all I want.
It's good.
Now I need to play it.
Anyway, this is our video game segment. And we've got with us John Still from the SciTech segment, and Jonna, who you may have been introduced to if you listened to our mini-sode last month, Castlevania Lords of Shadow.
Hello.
And she and Brandon are both the video game co-hosts now.
We do our best.
Well, beep, beep.
Probably not.
And I just make jokes.
Make jokes. Beep, beep,
beep. Yes. as you guys probably are very, very aware of, there are too many goddamn video games out right now.
Yes.
It's impossible
and
to follow.
And you know how many I've been playing?
Yes, there are.
In like the past month, I've been playing two. I've been playing Fallout, and then Rock Band came out, and I've been playing Rock Band. And that's it. That's
I'm going to help people, and here's my advice. Avoid Fable 3.
Oh,
really?
Is it as bad as I thought it would be? Compare it to Fable 2.
You know, all they had to do was do Fable 2 and then add a cool kingdom building element to it. The kingdom element building thing blows, and they fucked up the Fable 2 part.
Oh, no. I had high hopes for that, even though I hadn't.
It feels crazy short. The storyline is completely neutered of all tension from the moment go. And, like, I was a huge, huge fan of Fable 2. And I was totally open to a new game, totally open to everything that they were saying, totally, you know, into what they were saying about, oh, you're going to build kingdoms, and there's all these choices, and it's just like Fable 2, but more fun. I'm like, yeah, it sounds great. But no,
it just
fell flat and everything.
Wow.
That's
really disappointing.
This is just me, but it feels like there was an extremely short amount of time in between Fable 2 and 3.
Yeah, it's like they spent years making Fable 2, and then like a year later Fable 3 comes out. I'm like, that seems a bit odd. It's like a year for a new, completely different game.
Should it have just been an expansion pack, downloadable content, a $20 disc?
Does it
disc?
Feel like an expansion?
Like,
it's bigger than that, but it's really slipshod. There's tons of bugs. Oh my god. I heard a lot of people reporting bugs about Fable 2. I never encountered any of them, really. This one, though, is bugs, bugs, bugs.
Yeah, Fallout had tons of bugs, too.
Well, Bethesda.
Yeah, Bethesda.
Yeah, that's what they do. Actually, isn't Obsidian behind New Vegas? I'm confused.
You know, this is true, yeah. It actually wasn't developed by Bethesda proper. Over on the East Coast, it was actually developed by a West Coast studio.
Oh,
huh.
That's right.
And if it is Obsidian, they are even more known for their huge buggy game.
I mean, it says
game.
Bethesda when
but
I turn the game on.
But what's great about Bethesda products are, despite all the crazy bugs they have, they're still so good it's completely and utterly forgivable,
well,
at least from my perspective.
Here's the thing. People are complaining about not having jobs right now. Bethesda needs to have a thing where people
QA department.
Yeah, where they can become testers, because clearly they don't have any testers for any of their games. The new Fallout game, completely awesome. Freezes on me once per day, or someone gets stuck under an elevator or a stairway that I need to complete a quest.
I was looking at
people's heads start spinning around. You're like, why is that happening?
You know, there's advice dog threads, but there's now Fallout guy threads, and it's Fallout.
What to do when this quest glitches out?
No, and it's just like, you know, it's the little Fallout head guy face, and then it's, you know, funny caption, and it's like, jump around on rocks, get stuck.
Yeah, it's like there's every now and then there'll be enemies stuck in the floor or the walls, and I'm like, if they played this game themselves for 5 hours even, they would have encountered so many bugs. How the fuck did they not notice? And it's for both systems, and I don't understand.
Would
they miss any of them?
Maybe they did play testing, and it was even worse before.
Yeah,
oh,
it's like whenever I play Fallout or Oblivion or any Elder Scrolls games, and not old school Fallout, but like the
constantly save just in case.
Yeah, these new games, it feels like to me that there is so much game that it's almost overwhelming, because it's like I could run out in the woods and pick mushrooms all day if I wanted to. And it's just like...
like options there. I'm not going to, but it's there.
But it's there. There's like so much options. It's like with Fallout 3 in New Vegas, you know, it does feel like the old school Fallouts where, yes, I can collect every piece of item in every single locker and take every single thing off of every single table. But
why?
But why would I do that? I would never do that. I don't need to do that. And it's like they just have so much game. How can they play test it? It's like, oh, I pick up this keyboard and the whole game freezes.
Well, see, actually, that's why I can't play the new Fallouts, because there's all that choice, and it just terrifies and paralyzes me. I can't do anything.
It's too much like real life.
You start the game,
I need to get away from this.
It's really great.
Brandon, I understand that they're actually going to have a patch for that stuff shortly, though.
Well, patch is already coming out.
They know that there's a horrible problem.
There probably will be many patches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was many patches before the Fallout 3 expanded content even remotely worked, so...
Yeah.
There's rendering errors going on, and then there's, of course, the monsters and characters and whatever getting stuck behind things.
Which
but
is weird.
Then there's always the absolute classic Bethesda, oh crap, you know, like our coding for all of our dialogue options didn't quite align, and, you know, you can't complete this thing because the option's just plain not there.
Whoa.
I haven't had that glitch yet, but I will say they're using the exact same graphic system from the previous game. It's not a new engine, it's the exact same one. I don't know how there's different glitches. I mean, that thing has been in the works.
I don't either, and I did think about that.
Yeah.
It really doesn't make sense. Now, on the plus side, though, I do believe they've tweaked it slightly, like some of the options, so that it works better with the 3D setup. You can turn off the crosshair.
When John says 3D, John means
literally
actual 3D because
3D.
He has a...
I play it at 100% depth, son.
Damn.
True 3D burns your eyes out of your frickin' skull. Them titties look real nice on the strip club.
Whoa.
Easy, John.
No, go on. I'm starting to...
nice do them titties look on the strip club? Oh,
what about
the naked men? You see their junk?
Name.
Are there naked man junk on the strip clubs? Because I know there's naked men.
Shit, man, I ain't gone inside. I was just looking at the hookers outside, man.
There are hookers outside.
Now,
how much do I have to invest right now to get that?
To get a 3D setup?
Yeah.
You need, like, a really rather modern card, and I think the screen costs, like, $200 to $300, plus, like, an extra $100 for the glasses and the NVIDIA, like, little IR thing.
Hundreds of dollars.
Okay, guys, you wait here. I'll be right back.
Brandon, you've been playing Fallout for a really long time, weeks now. And John, you've been playing Fallout for at least 24 hours. Not, like, straight.
24 hours of actually playing the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can tell you the one thing that has made me so happy about this game, more than anything, it's the new mode, Hardcore mode, which essentially, the thing Fallout has always been missing is, like, there's all this food everywhere. You can find these weird mutated fruit that's radiated. It's like, where the fuck would I eat that? You don't need to eat food. In this game, if you have hardcore mode on, and you can play on any difficulty, you need to eat, you need to drink, and you need to sleep, and there's meters for all three. If you don't do it, you start losing points, you start hallucinating, your aim gets bad, and most of the food and water's radiated, so you're gonna deal with the radiation problem, and, like, all of your weight is going to be filled with ammo, because ammo uses weight in
good.
Hardcore.
Cause
and
used to
food
make...
and water. Clean
yeah.
food and water.
Because I used to, like, oh, man, I can't take this armor with me.
Let me throw out all this food.
But, yeah, let me throw out all this food. But good thing I have 300 missiles.
Yeah, I've got three. Yeah. Seriously.
They have no weight, and now they have weight.
So, hardcore mode makes it way more realistic, way more fun. If you're going to fast travel anywhere, be prepared to eat something when you're done.
Now,
you're going to need it.
I want... your guy in Fallout to be as needy as your guy in The Sims, okay? He needs to care about...
There are toilets everywhere. I wish that's the next step, is that you have to pee.
Yeah.
You have to drink water, then you have to pee.
The
problem is if you used it right now, instead of, you know, urinating, he would just drink out of the toilet.
That's true. Right now, you can drink out of the toilet. Some of them are clean, but most of them are filled with radiation.
Because I really want your guy to, like, his entire mood to drop when he enters a room where the feng shui is bad. I want him, if you...
There should be a mood meter.
Yeah, I want you, if you don't make him go to the bathroom, he shits himself, then his hygiene meter goes down, and then he cries.
This is really amazing. Yeah. It makes Sims and Fallout. It's like, if you're a bad guy, and you haven't beaten the shit out of someone in a while, your mood gets set.
Yeah.
You need to beat the crap out of a child or something.
Yeah, they could really play with, if you have bad karma, you need to do more bad things.
Bethesda needs
Please
to
select
to
your personality traits.
Yeah. Seriously.
Shithead.
Next game we'll have that. I'm sure
excited.
The new Morrowind will have that.
Baby steps.
Yeah. I mean, these games are just exceptional, and I understand Brian's fear, because Oblivion is actually something that I've never come back from, really, fully. A part of me is
yeah,
still there
Oblivion's
playing
another
game.
Game where I can't even start it. It's instantly paralyzing.
This game also, if you're a fan of the originals, like the original Fallout 1 and 2 for PC, this game is heavily based on those. I haven't seen anything based on, like, Fallout 3 at all. It's all been based on Fallout 1 and 2.
Well, it takes place in the same area.
Exactly. And, it takes place all the way over there. I mean, the NCR was in the original games. There's characters from the original games
that
can join you.
That was our middle school.
Yeah.
Was you
it was
and me
like,
playing those games all
like, day
and talking
about it. I found a spear. I'm going to throw it at this shop, like, vendor for no reason. Whew, I missed. And then everyone's taking out guns, killing you. You're planting dynamite and little kids, like, shoes, and they blow up and the whole thing.
That's one of my favorite things. It's like, steal fork off of table... Then you have to fight off the town.
And then someone brings out a gun and just kills you for stealing a fork.
Off of the table.
I love it. Off of the table.
Fallout games are cool.
Yeah.
Brian, you've actually recently written a Fallout fan film.
Yes, I have.
It's called Nuka Break. So tell us about that project.
I wrote it.
No, sir.
Zach Finfrock and his buddies at Wayside Creations really like the Fallout series, and they also do a ton of just short films. They do Backyard Effects, that's their big thing now, where they essentially tell you how to do special effects on a super cheap budget for home editing and movies and cool stuff that you can do with, I don't even know what the hell the goddamn programs are, but indie film creators can use all these tips. So they like putting all their talents to use on these slightly bigger projects, and they got in their head to do a Fallout fan film. And this just happened to coincide with the most recent E3, and because they got in, and they managed to talk to people at Bethesda, and they were saying, hey, we make these films, and show them some, sample shots, and then they were saying, hey, we really want to do this Fallout film. And they said, or Bethesda people said, well, we can't let you do that. Go ahead and do it! And so they did it. Zach wanted me to write it, and he gave me the basic story. Actually, he gave me the script, and I just had to redo the whole thing, because he's not a writer. I'll say that.
He's basically illiterate.
He can read simple, pictograms.
Okay. Is he a better or worse writer than Larry from Larry's Comics, typing one-handed, looking his dick in the face?
Slightly better.
Okay, cool. Well, he does seem like a smarter guy, but also I've had stools that are smarter than Larry.
The project isn't out yet. There's a trailer everybody can watch. We've got a link on the site. Do you know when it's going to be coming out?
I have no idea. Nobody tells me nothing.
Are you allowed to tell us what the story is?
The story is about a vault dweller and his buddies, and they're in the desert.
Why is it called Nuka Break?
You guess you'll just find out when you watch.
One of those. I see how it is.
Cagey.
Jonna, there's a game that you want to talk about that I've never heard of. It's several V's in a row.
Yeah, six of them, actually.
V-V-V.
I think that's how you say it. Apparently I'm the only one here who's played through the whole thing. I know you two have
I just played the demo.
We beat the demo, and then I didn't...
It was really hard.
It was fucking awesome.
Hard.
Yeah.
I didn't play the demo, so I'm not sure what all that has in it, but the whole game itself is not long at all. But it has that retro feel all the way. Like, it has a very limited color palette. It's all just pixels. It's probably four or five colors max.
Yeah.
And it's just very, very difficult. Spikes everywhere. One hit, you die.
Yeah.
What kind of a game is it? And how do I get it?
It's gravity-based, right?
It's all gravity-based. You can walk on the ceiling or just on the floor, and there's no jumping. So you just flip gravity back and forth. That's like how you get around through the whole thing. I've got it on Steam. I don't know if it's available on anything else.
You can buy it directly.
I think you can just download it directly. Because I don't have Steam, and that's how I was playing it. But it's like weird old school vector graphics where it's just like a black background, stick figures, and then a line, and then the V's are the one hit kill spikes. Yeah. And so there's tons of V's and
that's what the V's mean.
Like Spookamus.
Yeah, like Spookamus. Yeah.
It's amazing because it's such a fun game, yet there's three controls, left, right, and then you press spacebar and it just reverses the gravity. That's how you get around.
And so all of a sudden you're on the ceiling. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes there's things that change the gravity midway, so you have to change the gravity, and then as you're falling,
change it again while you're moving.
Yeah, and then just do all these.
Actually, you have to hit before you can change it. It'd be easier if you could just do it midair.
There's things you can fall through.
Yeah. Oh, those strings that you go through.
Yeah, the strings switch it automatically.
And everyone should check out that game. It's brilliant.
Yeah, it's all like
the music's great.
The music's
great. But that and Super Meat Boy and all those games, that's like the indie game movement.
So this one's been out for a while.
Was it a year ago I showed it?
I think it was
about a
year ago.
Yeah. It's not as old as Cave Story.
No, that game's
awesome. Yeah. And it's now on the DS apparently in the works. So.
It's on WiiWare right now.
And how long ago did you start playing VVVVVV?
Just a couple weeks ago, actually. Yeah. It only took me a couple hours to beat it, so... It
must be very good.
Huh?
I remember that demo being so goddamn hard.
Yeah, the game is very hard as well. Actually, it's much harder if you go after these little optional items in it. You can skip them. There's no need to go for them unless you're a completionist, but...
No, I need to get them.
Yes, that's me too.
Yeah, I need to get them all.
I think there's 20 of them. I think I got about 16 or 17 of them, and one of them... Gosh, it took like an entire evening. It's so brutal. I can't believe I actually sat through the whole thing.
I think there was one in the demo, and it was like out of the like 3 or 4 hours of gameplay, that was like half of the time.
Yeah, yeah. The game actually keeps track of your deaths. So yeah. I died 600 times on that one part.
Wow.
I checked my deaths before, and I checked after, and yeah, about 600 deaths.
The kind of game where you're just like, I'm not going to sleep or eat till I get this one goddamn shiny object.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, good, that's all I want.
And the best part, it's sitting right there, you can see it, but there's this one pixel block preventing you from getting it. So you have to go up through all these spikes, hit the top, and then go back down through all these spikes, several screens, and get it. That's why it killed me 600
times. There were hand motions that went with that, and they were complicated. So one of the biggest things that's happened recently is that Microsoft's debuted the Kinect. However, we're not going to talk about that this episode. That's actually a pretty big topic, and there's a lot to say about it. It's going to be discussed in one of our minisodes. So in the meantime, I'm going to forward you to when Mike and I had hands-on with it at E3, which is actually we had hands-on with Fallout New Vegas and Fable 3 and a lot of other stuff.
A lot of stuff.
Got all those videos for all these releases that were just being tested then linked to the site. And as for Rock Band 3, well, we've all been playing a lot of that, and we're going to give you a full review on it when we get the guitar is a real guitar that you can also use as a controller, also seen in one of our E3 videos. When we get a hold of that, then we're going to tell you about it, because everybody's reviewed Rock Band 3, and I'll tell you right now, it's phenomenal.
Yeah, and this is going to be different. I'm actually going to sell my soul to the devil so I can play this guitar well.
So you can play the fake guitar.
No one's done that before. Definitely jump on that.
There's a new bass guitar coming. I don't know if it's the same one as the regular guitar, but you cannot play pro bass without this different instrument.
Well, it would have less strings.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Well, because I have not heard anything.
Something I believe we've mentioned in the past is that there's going to be a Back to the Future game coming out from Telltale Games. They also recently got the license for Jurassic Park.
Telltale.
Have you heard the guy who's doing Marty McFly's voice?
Oh, yes. Yes, we have.
Yeah. That is eerie. Speaking of people who sold their souls.
Yeah, Cinemassacre had an interview with him where he talks about the story of how he got the part and does some lines, and we have a link to that on the site.
Why the hell do I know Telltale Games?
Telltale Games.
Did they do Bone?
Sam and Max.
They did Bone and Sam and Max and the new Monkey Island. Mm-hmm. Now, while you've got this look on your face like, uh-oh, this is bad news because of the Bone game, and I remember it, and it was bad.
Yeah.
I've heard good things about the Monkey Island games.
Yeah, that's what I heard. So.
And Sam and Max.
Yeah, I think they've probably got their shit together at this point.
Yeah. I mean, the Bone game was more geared towards children, but it was also like, I am also very childlike, and this is not fun. I am extremely immature, and
I'm very stupid, sir, and this game does not entertain me.
That's exactly how I felt.
And as a fan of the Bone comic book series, this was not worth playing. The Back to the Future game looks really good. It's got everybody on board with it. The original writer of the movie, Bob Gale.
Christopher Lloyd
is on as a voice. Michael J. Fox is not on as a voice, but for the first time ever, he signed off his likeness. The reason you've never had Back to the Future action figures is because he's never wanted you to. However,
what about the Back to the Future NES game?
Yeah, I was wondering about that.
Yeah, I could definitely see his likeness there.
It's on the cartridge, and you play as him.
I am not sure.
That's probably when he decided.
I mean, there was also the Back to the Future the Animated Series, where there was also a likeness, but he's generally very protective of it. I don't know what the logistics of this are, but I do know that there's a new contract with Mattel, and maybe, just maybe, we're going to get Marty McFly action figures. This could happen. But the game seems like it's shaping up to be really cool. Like we said, the guy who does Marty McFly's voice is amazing. He does such a good job.
Do we know any details yet about this game? Like system or...
Well, you travel through time.
Yeah, we do know...
Maybe it takes place afterwards when you no longer have a time machine. You're just living out your life.
I basically want it to be Chrono Trigger in Hill Valley. That's what I want. The DeLorean is just the Epoch, and it just goes and flies over the screen. And then
Lavos comes out.
And then you're in Dinosaur Times, and you have to fight the Reptites.
Except it's Biff as Lavos.
Yeah, well, duh.
Just on the ground.
Well, and if you take the option to fight Lavos Biff as early as possible, you get the super funny credits where they zoom by really fast. And tell you when you,
yeah, and then you get to go to the developer's room and...
Say hi to your mom for me.
Yeah.
The game, all Telltale games are downloadable games for the PC, or Mac, I guess, probably. And it's going to be in episodes. You can actually pre-order all of it now. So it's going to be 5 episodes long. And you can pre-order it for $24.95. If you pre-order it, you get a bunch of benefits.
Ooh.
Such as, you get access to a forum, which is only accessible to people who pre-order it, that has live chats with the Back to the Future team, weekly DeLorean toy giveaways. And they're going to have a live chat with AJ LoCascio, who's the guy who does the Marty voice.
Is he going to respond by talking in the Marty voice?
Be in character the whole time.
I certainly hope so.
Any clown can sit behind a computer and type. I want him to do the Marty McFly voice, like, over Skype or something the whole time. Or else I'm not paying.
I don't know if it's going to be text or dialogue. But I do know...
I am needy.
On the Cinemassacre interview, he goes into how he got the part. And this is brilliant. This guy is not a professional voice actor. He is a guy, worked on some student films in the past, who called up the president of Telltale Games and left a message for him as Marty McFly. And he recounts that in a Cinemassacre interview. It's amazing. And he got the part. The storyline for the game, they haven't revealed much about it yet, but I do know that it takes place 6 months after Back to the Future 3, and Marty's just been like, what do I do with my life? He's like sorting things out, he's just trying to get on with it. And Doc Brown comes back and says, oh, we got a lot to talk about.
So is it after... time travel is so tricky. So is he coming back... Emmett Brown is coming back after the events of the ride, but before the events of the cartoon.
No, he's coming back in a train.
No, the train is in the cartoon.
Also, the DeLorean got shredded.
No, the DeLorean got shredded, but then he mass-produced them in the ride. So.
That doesn't make any sense.
For all
the DeLorean...
we know, he could be coming up to him before the second episode.
DeLorean Motor Company went out of business.
At some point in the timeline,
well,
I'm pretty sure.
But Dr. Brown got so rich that he bought DeLorean Motor Company.
I mean, if
that's
how did he get
alternate...
so rich unless he was doing the Biff scheme? He's evil!
Now, the thing about time travel is they've never played with this in Back to the Future, but it could be Emmett Brown from any time. He could show up and be like, we've got a lot to talk about. And he's like...
This could be Nazi Emmett Brown.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, what?
Doc, why do you have a sponsor?
Alternate timeline Nazi Emmett Brown.
Oh, wait, are they going to touch alternate timelines?
I touched it in the second movie.
The tangent just skews off.
And technically, they touched it in the first movie. And technically, the amount of times that there's a tangent timeline in Back to the Future, it's like 14. It's like 14.
Yeah.
It's like anytime they go anywhere, they've created a universe.
Yeah, but the thing is, there's always one universe.
No, there's not.
It diverges.
The original universe, Marty's home life sucked. At the end of Back to the Future 1, his home life was awesome. The time travel events of the first film created a divergent timeline, which then created another divergent timeline when they went into the future, which then created another divergent timeline.
I know, but I'm saying is, like, what happened to that first universe that he started
this
out?
This is getting really...
You can't get back
Everyone
on that.
Died in a horrible explosion.
You have to go
Something
back.
Wrong with the Earth's gravitational pull.
It exploded.
Yeah, you have to go back. Maybe it exists, but who knows? There's no way to get to it.
That's what I'm saying. There's no way to get to it unless because there's one primary timeline.
I don't agree with that.
And you wouldn't be able to travel to other times.
What if it's Dinosaur Emmett Brown?
Yeah. Dr. Dinosaur
Emmett Brown. I see what you're doing.
Great Scott. This is getting heavy.
It's getting way too heavy. It was never supposed to go there. But let's talk about another pop culture video game that we looked at E3. The Force Unleashed 2.
Oh, yeah.
And joining us for this segment is our film correspondent, a.k.a. our Star Wars Expanded Universe correspondent, Matt Spill.
Hi, I'm Matt.
Matt, you were, like, anticipating Force Unleashed 2 being something you'd be into.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've been talking about it for months and kind of worried that I might be regretting those months.
Now, what were you looking forward to as a Star Wars fan and a Force Unleashed fan? You were a fan of the first game, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, the game was, it was fine. It did its purpose. I've played more single-minded games than even that. But for me, it was all about story. Some people didn't like it. I really dug it. I mean, I thought there might be some continuity issues about timing. But, you know, I was really interested in the fact that they were willing to take on something that had the importance in galactic events that the movies themselves did, like formation of the Rebel Alliance and how that relates to Vader and what Vader's plans and schemes are. And it was a very interesting take on it.
The only one of us who's actually played the game is Mr. Brian Clevenger.
Woo.
Brian, you just replayed the first game.
Yes, and the weekend leading up to the release of Force Unleashed 2, I spent playing the first one to get reacquainted with a little guy I like to call Starkiller.
Terrible name, by the way.
Yes, awful name.
Are you guys familiar with what the Star Wars EU community refers to him as?
No, what is it?
They actually call him Rhett, because when he was simply referred to as the Secret Apprentice, it became such a sticking point that everyone hated Starkiller when they announced his name as Starkiller, so people continued to call him Rhett. I mean, you'll never find a mention of the name Starkiller on a Force.net forum, unless, you know, you're like a noob. So,
or you're referring to Luke Skywalker in his original
Actually, it was Anakin with two N's. Get it right or pay the price.
No, Luke.
It was Anakin Starkiller.
Well, but I'm still saying, like, you'd still be referred to him as Starkiller.
But Anakin was the main character in the original script.
He still is in some ways. Oh.
Well, what's the verdict, Brian?
That is pretty much my summation. Let me also say that I really enjoyed the first game. I know that goes against the gamer zeitgeist, but you know, it did tell an interesting story of the origins of the Rebel Alliance. I had a real soft spot for the Secret Apprentice because I saw all these interviews with his voice actor and model, Sam Witwer, and he had such enthusiasm for just the franchise of Star Wars and to be a part of it that it kind of infected me with his enthusiasm, and so I was really into the game. I have a soft spot for the character, as I said. Interesting side note for anyone who played the original. You know how the Emperor's voice is really pretty good?
Mm-hmm.
That is Sam Witwer, the Secret Apprentice guy also.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. This is Sam Witwer, who is also in Battlestar Galactica, who Mike and I met, and Colin, at E3, and he was a charming and wonderful man.
He's also in an episode of early It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
What?
The one where they're trying to make new friends, and they print out those things. They're supposed to look like a dude flexing a bicep, but actually looks like a huge penis.
Yeah.
He's one of the guys they talked to.
He was a very charming gentleman, and he played his cards right. He could have totally seduced me. Just saying, he's extremely attractive.
Part of it. I have a gay man crush on the Secret Apprentice.
I mean, he's doing all of us a disservice. He's just making us all look bad. He's making every single guy on the planet look bad, and it's not fair.
And the Secret Apprentice, Starkiller, actually does look like Sam Witwer.
Look like him. And I'm okay with fictional characters, video games, and comic books looking better than me, but not real people.
Not a real person. Yeah, that's just insulting.
Yeah.
Okay, so second game comes out. I mean, I'm open to it. I like the first one. I want to see more of it. I downloaded the demo. It was really fun. Amped up the energy from the first game, gameplay-wise, cinematic-wise. You do some really awesome, amazing stunts. Like, in the very first level, you do some training real quick, and then you dash out a window or some crap. And you fall, and whereas in the first game that might have been like a cutscene, no, you're actually falling, and you have to like force zap and force push all this junk that's in your way as you fall before you hit the ground, and then you know continue on the rest of the level.
See, that's awesome.
Graphically,
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's just really really cool. Every level has a moment like that where it's just it. In any other game, it would kind of take you out of it, but here it's just you know they let you unleash some force on shit, and it's cinematic and it's cool.
Oh, now I get
graphics are a huge, huge improvement over the original. I was actually blown away because I had just so recently played the first one, and I hadn't remembered it looking quite that bad. It's kind of an ugly game, but the second one actually is just really well done. Great animations, great sets, great effects. The fighting's more fluid, more interesting, but they kind of hide all the different combos. Like in the first one, you had a list of all the different combos you could do. This one, if there is such a list, I never found it, so you kind of have to discover stuff, which is a little bit frustrating.
On E3, it was really, really... The opening cutscene that you mentioned looked great.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it looked awesome.
They showed us a lot of tech demos that looked impressive.
Yeah.
And then when Spill and I got to play it at Star Wars Celebration...
Yeah, we checked that out at Celebration.
Hex, you played it as well. I remember I played it. Did you play it as well?
No, I just watched you play.
We played it. Matt played it. And it was a little bit glitchy, but then we saw a panel, and the panel about the game was, I don't know, outstanding. Everything they were saying was great, but we've been hearing a lot of negative stuff, and you did sigh, and it sounded pretty bad.
I walked away from the panel a little nervous because of the story.
Right.
Yeah. The thing is, the gameplay itself is actually a whole lot of fun. If you like the first one, gameplay-wise, you'll like this one even more. There's none of that bullshit where, remember the giant robot soldiers, giant robot stormtroopers, and they just kind of go, nah, your force powers don't work on me. And the other guys who had force shields and like, nah, your force powers don't work on me. There's none of that shit.
Good.
There's one kind of enemy that your force powers don't work on. They are literally the rarest enemy in the game, and you can just walk up to them and saber slice them to hell. There's a new force power called Mind Trick, which is actually really cool. It'll work on anything that is not a robot. And all you gotta do is push a button, and it mind tricks whoever's around, and they will instantly turn to your side and start fighting their buddies, and their buddies will fight back against them, or they'll just jump off a cliff. It's great.
So could you just walk around and like constantly spam that button and just mind control every single enemy?
Yes, I've gone through a level doing exactly that because it's just so much fun. Although, as you power it up, when you max it out, for every, you know, dose of it, you can mind trick three people. The problem is that it's not like three maximum, it's three every time you use it. So you can just go through the whole level and completely trivialize pretty much every encounter that isn't a robot.
It sounds kind of easy then.
It can be, yeah. Once you power everything up, you are, I don't know, a biotic force power god.
Let me ask you real quick. I've been hearing, and I don't know if it's true, you can confirm this. Are there only like four levels or four areas? And one of them,
yeah, that's
one of
really
them literally
thing.
Takes 10 minutes to beat.
Yeah, maybe seven. It's really, really short. It's maybe the first one, since I have just played through it again, was what, like 6 hours, I think, from start to end. That might be kind of long. I don't know. This one is slightly shorter than that, and it feels half as long as that because it is literally, it's the very first mission area. You're on the planet where they do all the cloning. Kamino. And then you go to another planet to find the blind Jedi dude from the first game. And this level takes, I mean, it's really actually like five levels, but there's no level break. So it feels like it's just one really long level. Then you go to another planet, and again, it's the same thing. It's more like, it's really technically like four levels, but there's no breaks. And again, it takes a couple hours to beat. And then it's the end. And then that's it. Like, there's a Dagobah level, but it is literally a minute worth of gameplay.
So you buy this game for like $60 and you can just sit down and beat it in like five hours,
yeah.
And then have some
I went to a midnight release because for Fable 3, and this game just happened to be released at the same time, so I was like, all right, whatever. So I played Force Unleashed for a couple hours that night, finished it the next day.
I
wasn't even like hardcore into it, you know. I just was, oh, that, what, really, the end?
It doesn't sound very appealing.
No, and then in addition to that, the story, okay, I will say that the story for the first one didn't bug me either. The only thing I didn't like about the story in the first one was the relationship with Juno was incredibly rushed, incredibly forced, incredibly false, and you could tell they added it at the last minute. If you listen to like the pre-production stuff and interviews and things from before the game came out, it was very clearly a sort of Lucas, hey, why don't you, you know, love story? And that was this is how they shoved it in.
Fuck, I hate that guy.
And the whole second game hinges upon the love story, which just does not exist, is not there. It's the character's sole motivation, and it just feels completely false.
Would you say the love story in this game is on equal level with the love story in the prequel movies, or worse, or better? Because that was
better,
the most realistic thing.
It is better in that there are none of those lines. Because she's on screen for maybe 3 minutes total, so there is no love story, but it pretends that there is for the entire length of the game.
Brian, your cynicism is like sand. It just coarse and gets into everything.
Just gets into everything. Not
and
like
actually, I didn't even mind the excuse of how they brought the dude back. You know, he's supposed to be this clone, which I thought was kind of clever of them anyway, because it presages the Emperor's extended universe plan of cloning himself.
Yeah.
Like, I thought this would tie into, like, that's the prototype program for the Emperor's eventual plan. So I thought, oh, that's kind of clever. But all they really do with that is the blind general Jedi guy says, well, I just don't think you're a clone. And that's like, that's the tension there. And Starkiller's like, well, I think I am. But wait, maybe I'm not.
And then the game ends,
yeah.
And you're like,
so they don't,
oh.
And then the game ends, and they don't even really do anything about it. And that's another thing. Oh, my God, the endings! Okay, so there's two endings. There's the light side and dark side. You know, standard Star Wars fare. Light side ending is they've captured Darth fucking Vader.
What?
Yeah,
this
would take place just prior to episode 4. They have him captured, they've got him locked down in some kind of anti-force Hannibal Lecter shit.
Wait, is this the Rebel?
Yeah, the Rebels. The Rebels have him fucking
There's
captured.
Always one ending that's not canon, and I suspect
we'll
it's this
get to
one.
Both ones.
See, that's what I thought too, because I did light side first, because I'm a sucker. You know, I got that heroic streak in fiction anyway. So, you know, they've got him captured, and Starkiller's like, eh, you've got no control over me, because, ooh, I could have killed you, but I didn't, so screw you, I'm moving on with my life. And he and Juno fly away into the galaxy sunset. How could that possibly tie in with real continuity? You have one of the most powerful Force users ever, and he's like, ah, rebellion, that'll just sort itself out.
And he goes and settles in Alderaan.
Yeah, exactly. What a beautiful planet. Nothing bad will happen here.
So what's the other ending, then?
So, okay, I'm thinking, much like Mike just said.
If I might interrupt.
No, go ahead.
They're bringing him to Dantooine, which was supposedly, you know, the abandoned rebel base that Grand Moff Tarkin and Vader didn't know about, but yet they're bringing Vader there.
Huh.
So that further proves that it can't be canon.
Right.
Because he
right.
quite...
So
You didn't know about
this. This is what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, okay, this is the fake ending. Yeah. And for once, they're making the dark side ending the real ending. Well, that's an interesting twist. So I play through the last level again, which is actually a really cool cinematic fight against Vader. So I do the dark side ending. And then this version, you just try to kill Vader, but just before you do it, you get stabbed in the back by the real clone of Starkiller. You, all along throughout the game, are revealed to have been a slightly defective clone who was supposed to be like bringing back the rebels and such, like in the first game, to gather them up so that they could then use the real assassin clone to kill everybody. And this is what happens. The real assassin clone kills you, kills the General Coda, goes off into space, kills Leia, kills everybody.
Wait.
Yeah. So that can't be real either. So like,
yeah,
what?
The novel and the comic, they were the light side ending. So supposedly that's the canon ending, even though neither of them really make sense.
Yeah.
Perhaps a third game will enlighten us as to what happens.
Maybe it's a clone of Vader getting sent to Dantooine.
And then that's why he doesn't know any of that stuff later.
Because he's a clone. Well, and then another clone of the Emperor comes out. And then there's a clone of Count Dookie. And then the Clone
and then
Wars.
Ben Riley shows up.
The Clone Wars. The Clone Wars is actually a war of clones to straighten out continuity.
So there's some bad news on the idea of a third one. Apparently LucasArts wasn't happy with the progress of this one. So the project lead, Hayden Blackman, he ended up being forced into leaving LucasArts, and he's done, you know, dozens of Star Wars games over the years. Jeez. And comics and everything like that. And LucasArts has already hinted that they're not thinking about Force Unleashed 3.
I'm not surprised because there was no push for this game. There was no big advertising. There was no big lead-in like the first one.
I mean, I saw
it. Yeah, I mean, it was at first, and then all of a sudden it disappeared when LucasArts got upset.
Yeah, and having played it, it feels very much like a game, because it's not at all that the game is unpolished or feels unfinished. Everything, every bit of content in that game is really, really well done. There's just not enough of it. It's like half the game. It's very clearly they got to the point where we don't have to do anymore, so let's just cut it here.
And LucasArts has a history of this. That's what happened to Knights of the Old Republic, too. There was a lot cut from that game that was supposed to make it in. Entire planets, entire characters, entire endings, all kinds of things were cut from that one.
Why does this shit get cut? Who's up there pressing the continuity button? Because I know Lucas doesn't know how to wipe his ass. Like, who is the monkey, like, wiping his butt for him and then throwing the dirty poo rags at the game developers? And they know that that's a bad sign that they have to cut something. Who's cutting all this stuff? Who is the butt-wiping monkey? Do we know?
I have no answer.
Emperor Palpatine. Somehow he managed. Palpatine turned the Jedi in only a course of supposedly 18 years. The Jedi were disappeared, and everybody in the original trilogy acts like they've never even heard of Jedi or the Force or whatever. It was less than 20 years ago that they were running around everywhere leading a war.
Yeah,
it's true. You couldn't walk like 2 feet.
The things didn't cut.
Some guy who's 40 years old in the Star Wars universe would remember. He'd be like, "Yeah, I remember when I was 20." There's Jedi's everywhere.
Jedi.
Think about how it is today with technology. How if something is 2 years old, it's ancient. It's archaic. It's forgotten.
Still, I remember the Gulf War. Yes, using a cell phone that can't play video games seems weird and old to me, but...
Yeah, man, Crystal Pepsi didn't work out, so what?
Like,
But I remember it.
Yeah. I remember shit.
I'm just saying, take that concept and then elongate it so much to the point where if something happened 5 minutes ago, it's so old.
Well, I guess we'll give you the Lucas No Prize, but I'm just going to go with the George Lucas doesn't know what he's talking about idea.
Yeah. No,
well, I think he's got poo brain. He's got serious poo brain, and he definitely has a monkey that wipes his butt. Like, this is canon.
It's actually an Ewok. He genetically modified an Ewok.
He's not that
it's
smart.
It's a really hairy monkey that's sad.
It's a monkey named Ewok.
We're going to go to a music break.
Thank you.
But when we get back, Matt Spill is going to tell us about something incredible he saw.
Is it a penis?
Was it an angel?
Or is it an angel's penis?
It involves a certain film that's coming out next month.
Oh, that son of a bitch, I know what this is.
Oh, that thing!
Yeah!
Angel Penis?
Yeah.
Angel Penis, the sequel! Goonies 2.
So...
Angel Penis in the Outfield.
So...
If you feel
Is Danny Glover in it?
Absolutely.
Yes.
And his penis.
Oh my god.
So next up, what we have is a track from my good pal Mark with a C. Every year, he releases a covers album, which he entitles "Share the Covers, Bitch."
Every year?
Last couple of years.
Okay.
So this is like volume 3, I believe. And this year, he decided to kick it off with a cover of an internet hit, "Bed Intruder." It's by the same guys who did "Double Rainbow." Except this is about that little story in Huntsville, what is that, Alabama? I think it's Alabama.
I think there's a Huntsville in every southern state.
But it's basically, there's a guy who came in and he raped some people and they made a song about it.
Wow. Is it about my grandpa?
Might be. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Bed Intruder.
He's climbing in your window, snatching your people up, trying to rape them. So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your wife, and hide your husband, cause the raping everybody out here. You don't have to come and confess. We're looking for you, we gon' find you, we gon' find you. So you can run and tell that, run and tell that, run and tell that. Homeboy, home, home, homeboy. We got your t-shirt, you left fingerprints, and all. You are so dumb, you are really dumb, for real. Man got away, leaving behind evidence. I was attacked by some idiot in the project. So dumb, so dumb, so dumb, so. He's climbing in your windows, snatching your people up, trying to rape them. So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your wife, and hide your husband, cause we're raping everybody out here. You don't have to come and confess. We're looking for you. We gon' find you. We gon' find you. So you can run and tell that. Run and tell that. Run and tell that. Homeboy, home, home, homeboy.
Yo, this is Illithid. You are listening to Nerdy Show.
Yeah, that's right, boy. You know how we do.
Yeah, Nerdy Show. Woo.
We'll be right back. What you just listened to was Eft6502, which is an interesting remix slash cover slash parody of Fuck You by CeeLo. And that was by our good pal, Inverse Phase, a.k.a. Mr. Magfest. And if you watch the YouTube video, which is linked, it's basically the story of a Nintendo Entertainment System pissed off that its owner has shoved it in the closet because they're now playing Sega Genesis.
Well, that was a bad choice.
Yeah, who would ever do that?
That's the whole point of the song.
Oh, yeah, Sega Genesis, sweet, 5 games that are awesome, but...
There's a look on Jonna's face I wish you could translate in the radio.
All I'm saying is Streets of Rage. I was a Sega kid growing up, so...
Yes.
Yes.
You've got Sonic and maybe Mortal Kombat and Cage Fighter?
That's Streets of Rage? Streets of Rage.
Is that the one where you turn into the
Rocket
Wolf?
Rocket Knight
Wolfmen?
Adventures?
Seriously?
What's the one where you turn into those wolf people?
Man.
That's Ultra
Beast. Vector Man. Oh, man.
Vector Man Assist. I mean,
and Echo the Dolphin and...
Ultra Beast.
Beyond Odyssey, right? Is that what it's called?
Beyond Oasis.
Beyond Oasis, yeah. That game is so good.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, Matt was going to tell us something pretty epic.
I got to see an IMAX 3D preview of Tron Legacy.
Fuck you! Oh, you've seen the whole movie?
No.
It's a preview.
Hold on.
It was just a preview. It was 23 minutes. And I have to say, hold on. Disney really dropped the ball, and sadly, 8 or 9 of those minutes was story dialogue scenes from the beginning of the film.
Hmm.
And everyone was kind of groaning because it was like, really, we didn't really come here for this. And
we
want to
see the cool stuff!
Could have gotten the story in December. I mean, do you guys care about how I talk about the 3D presentation? No spoilers here?
Go nuts.
Do what must be done.
Do it, okay. I'll be from the heart. The real world, our world, is in 2D. 2D only, and you won't get any 3D until you get into the grid.
Now, does that work?
Which is really cool. Yeah, I mean, it was really cool, which is why I think they did set up like 8 or 9 minutes in the real world, because they really wanted you to feel the impact. It's really like the biggest bass beat I've ever heard or felt, actually, when they do put you in the grid, and it's really cool.
So it's kind of like Wizard of Oz. Whereas it's all black and white to you goes in tornado.
Wait, so now they're just ripping off Wizard of Oz then.
I would say they're more making an homage to it.
I would say boycott.
Boycott.
Wizard of Oz with Daft Punk.
So yes, the one thing I'm asking Matt is how was the music?
The music was probably the best part of the preview, in my opinion.
Yeah.
That's all I care about.
Yeah, that's all we all care about is the music.
I care about both.
Well, yeah, but I mean...
On Saturday, I pre-ordered the soundtrack package that comes with the awesome glow-in-the-dark Daft Punk Tron poster.
Well, the movie comes out December 17th, and I heard the soundtrack comes out 10 days before on the 7th.
All I know is that the Tron comic was awesome.
Holy shit, yes,
the
it
one
was.
Yes, Tron Betrayal, a 2-part double-length comic?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
It takes place almost immediately after the original, and sets up the plot of the second movie.
So it ties in completely.
Yes, completely.
Because the Tron movie itself, it ends...
Yeah.
Pretty much, it looks like he's getting off a helicopter because Flynn now owns Enron.
Yeah.
And it starts
and
him.
not Enron. Not famous to fame corporation Enron.
Well, that would explain a few things.
And the comic starts with him, like, entering the boardroom.
Yeah.
As if he just got off the helicopter.
The comics are badass, and, you know, everyone cried about Disney buying Marvel and thought that they were going to change things and have team-ups with Mickey Mouse and Spider-Man. But Disney owns Tron. Disney owns Marvel. Marvel puts out Tron comics. Win. Marvel likes to do annoying bullshit variant covers, but sometimes they're kind of fun and kind of themed. Like, October was Halloween, so it was Vampire Month. And so December is going to be Tron Month, and you get all of your favorite Marvel superheroes in crazy Tron outfits.
With Tron variants.
Yeah.
Do they glow?
Not really, but they have the clothes.
You know what does glow? I don't know if you guys have been in any action figure aisles recently, but I checked out the Tron action figures.
They're out already?
Oh my god.
Are they spoilers? I've heard
some epic shit.
I went to a Walmart and I looked at them.
Okay. They got 3¼-inch action figures, right? They got the full spread. They even have a Jeff Bridges action figure as like old Jeff Bridges, current Jeff Bridges. Every single figure lights up. Even Jeff Bridges. They all have light up features on them. But then they also have 6-inch figures and 12-inch figures. And these things, where their face should be inside of their Tron helmets, is this weird kind of, like, frosted plastic-looking thing that's like a face. But you press a button on them, and it projects a hologram or something of a face inside there, plays a couple like different mouth animations, and it speaks.
Holy crap.
That sounds amazing. Does it work as good as what you just described to me? Seriously,
it's
it sounds
like
this,
a very
like,
advanced
toy.
Slideshow happening inside of an action figure, but it's still fucking awesome.
Yeah, the three frames of animation are very disjointed, but yeah, but it's still, it's like, that was three frames of animation in my toy's head.
In a goddamn action
figure
in its face.
Projected from somewhere inside the body into the face.
Yeah.
It's arcade technology.
Sounds like a robot to me.
Action figure.
Now, would a baby...
Let's get back to the babies. Let's get back to the babies.
Would a baby look at it and want to play with it? As in, want to play with its mother.
Would it think it's a living creature?
Would it suckle on the teat of Jeff Bridges?
Who wouldn't?
That's my question. Who wouldn't?
Why don't you email Jeff Bridges, because I'm sure he's got the internets by now, and see what he feels.
He invented the damn internet.
This is true.
Well, Matt, on the whole, what would you say about what you saw in that footage to just excite the hell out of people?
Well, I think the action was good. It looked better than Avatar, in my opinion. It just looked cleaner. It just, I don't know, it was just better. But what really excited me is at the end, they revealed to us that everything we saw was only in the first half of the movie. So I was like, holy shit. And then they showed us a small montage of the last half of the movie. It was like, you know, 1 minute long. And I saw something in there that to me looked like the Battle of Yavin, but with Tron X-Wing.
Oh, man.
So it's going to be epic, you say?
Because I've seen a clip of, I guess it's Clue jumping.
I have got a raging Clue right now, after what he
like,
said.
Doing the light cycle motion, but he jumps.
But turning into like a plane
jet
type vehicle, and you're like, what? So I guess there's more of this.
He does that in the comic.
Yeah.
No, he doesn't. You lie. Okay, he does.
Tron Betrayal is a really good comic.
Yeah.
I dare say it is. I'm sure the film's going to be fine without it, but it does such a good job of bridging.
Two-part. Yeah. You said it's two-part.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I need to get it now.
I need to check this out, too.
It's pretty phenomenal.
No. You know, put on the soundtrack, read the comic, you know.
That is a brilliant idea.
Take your pants off.
The one question that remains is, will the video game live up to how good all this other supplemental material is?
All the other times.
We saw it.
I played it.
We have an E3 video of this.
Yeah.
And, Mike, your impression of it was that it was like...
Prince of Persia.
Yeah.
It was Prince of Persia.
Was it made cheaply, like, you know, how every time a movie comes out, there's a video game for every
fucking
system?
Well, it looks great.
Yeah.
The graphics are outstanding.
It looks like the movie, well, at least from what I can tell the movie looks like from commercials and trailers.
Is it like this linear garbage that just copies it?
It kind of felt like the more linear Prince of Persia games.
Because I don't think I've ever seen a successful
it's also
game
a prequel
at the same time.
Yeah.
As a movie.
A more recent prequel, I understand, than the comic book is.
Yeah, it probably takes...
Oh, the game's a prequel.
Yeah, the game probably leads into the movie more so than the comic, because the comic takes place right after the original. Order's probably original movie, comic, game, movie, listen to Daft Punk the whole time.
Profit.
Yeah.
Now, is Daft Punk in the soundtrack for the game?
I didn't notice.
Oh,
it didn't sound
you
like
would notice
Punk.
If it was, yeah.
But there is a clip of Daft Punk in the film.
Yeah.
It's in MP3 files.
You just spoiled that for everyone.
It's
online already.
If you're excited...
When Daft Punk's in the film or did the music...
If you're as excited about either Daft Punk or Tron as we are...
then you have seen this already.
You've known this.
And if not, go to the website.
And
yeah, if this is a spoiler for you, then...
Then you need to learn how to internet.
And welcome to Nerdy Show.
Yeah, congratulations on somehow downloading us.
Some nerd you are.
Yeah. Someone's been transferring this to cassette tape for you.
One last thing before we go. Later on in the month, Nerdy Show is going to participate in the Earthbound Fan Fest. It's going on right now. Fangamer and Starman.net are passing an Earthbound cartridge through the mail with different cool people such as ourselves playing different chapters of Earthbound. And during this time, fans are encouraged to submit music and art and other cool fan-crafted awesomeness with daily prizes themed to each of the individual chapters that are being played. And it's cool as hell. I can't wait to participate in it, and you guys should check out when the next playthrough is, watch the video, participate in it. I mean, Earthbound's one of the greatest games of all time. We never shut up about it, so...
And I cannot wait to watch you play it.
Look forward to that.
Well, since we're already talking about Tron, I might as well play this track I just got for pre-ordering the album.
Yes.
It's called Derezzed. You may have seen the music video for it. Now you can listen to the music alone without that visual blindingness overloading your awesome bits of your mind. Now it's just the pure music to focus on.
Thanks so much for listening, guys.
Bye, MX.
Tribe Force Mike.
Cap.
Brandon.
John.
Yes, that was Brian in there.
Bye.
For Lambert. I want to thank you for listening to this week's episode of Nerdy Show. Nerdy Show is brought to you by a comic shop, Nerdapalooza, and the Oviedo branch of Play and Trade. If you have questions or comments, please feel free to send them to info@nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to all Nerdy Show podcasts via the iTunes store. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter @NerdyShow or friend us on Facebook. If you enjoyed what you heard, support Nerdy Show by telling a friend, or better yet, giving you money by visiting the Nerdy Show and picking up a t-shirt. Donate directly to Nerdy Show for cool, nerdy perks. These guys know how to fight the soldiers of Outworld. They didn't ask you to come back to do Mortal Kombat 2. I'm not quite sure why. I would have done it for free. I don't know why they asked James Remar to play Raiden in Mortal Kombat 2 Annihilation. Hey, I stole your car from the party. Get over it.